Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters. Now, there are only two of us on the recording right now. EZR is not with us, but Caitlin, you are.
And yep.
That kind of makes the lie that we're in Los Angeles more pronounced, because you are not, nor never have been, in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, I literally have never been in Los Angeles. I've never visited.
Have you been to Lawndale, California, home of Cheyenne from the show we're about
no.
to talk about?
I'm trying to think of, I've been to LAX airport for connections.
Right.
And I've been to a couple of other places in California, just not LA. Right. Like I've been to San Francisco and San Jose and Berkeley and all up there. And then San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara I've been to.
Right. Yeah, you've been pretty close.
Yeah.
Well, Lawndale, for those that don't know, is basically LA. There's like all these little tiny cities that didn't incorporate into Los Angeles, just tucked all the way around. Like West Hollywood is its own city, just tucked right there in the middle of LA. Lawndale's like that too. Lawndale.
There's a couple of LA people on here at least.
Yeah. Well, it's strange that they would have got, Cheyenne would have gone out of her way to say Lawndale. instead of just Los Angeles. But yeah, there's like Encino, there's like a couple people in the valley.
Yeah, there were a couple of people from Encino, because I remember noticing that and being like, where exactly is Encino?
it's just up in the valley there. You know that there's another music show. If EZR were here and we didn't start off the way we did, I had this whole joke. I was going to say, here, Bachelor Masters, we're here to talk about this brand new singing show on NBC called Songland, which premieres Monday. And then you guys would laugh. And EZR would go, what? And I would say, oh, did I look at the wrong show? Yeah, so NBC has its own singing show coming out on Monday.
Is it a singing and dating show, or just singing?
I think it's just singing.
Okay. That would be really egregious if they're like, oh yeah, we're also doing singing and dating.
It's been known to happen.
EZR's here.
Is that EZR?
Okay. Wait, now it sounds too loud. Oh my god. Okay, go ahead.
One other thing I wanted to get into, EZR, is this whole notion of listening to your heart. I kind of felt like maybe we could give that some time.
I don't know what that means.
It is the title of the show. It means something.
Yeah. Isn't it the name of some song?
Like yeah,
there's a
by
song
Roxette.
With this title? Yeah.
We talked about Roxette last episode, I think. They're a Swedish duo that gained critical acclaim and success. And they didn't just pick the name because Roxette made the song, though. It's become part of the Bachelor lexicon for the last 10 years. I got to listen to my heart or follow my heart. Like, what does that even mean? Do you want to know what I think? Or should I hold off and wait for us to talk about these contestants?
I think it's actually worth talking about, because I've processed what I think it means a long time ago, and I don't think it's deep enough to reevaluate. So go ahead, tell me what you think it means.
Okay, I put some thought into this. I was thinking to myself, what does it mean to listen to your heart? Okay, well, let's think of other things that you can listen to. So for a guy to listen to their penis, right? Like, oh, he's thinking with his penis. That's usually considered a bad thing, right? Now, for a woman to think from her genitalia, like, oh, my vagina's tingling. You hear that? That's kind of considered a little bit better, right?
So I was laughing at the phrase, you hear that. You know, we hear it all the time.
It was on something recently.
Like, it was on Love Island. They used to say, something
fanny
like
flutters.
That. Like, they used to say, like, my vagina's doing backflips or something. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, maybe I saw it on Summer House on Bravo. Yeah. But no matter how great a guy is, if he doesn't make your vagina tingle, that's a bad thing. So I don't know. It's different than a penis, I guess. Okay, so there's that. And then there's listening to your mind, which you think would be what you're supposed to... Like, the show should be called Listen to Your Mind, right? But I guess the idea there is that if you overthink relationships or something, or if you actually connect with someone intellectually, that's a bad thing. I mean, we live in a post-intellectual society right now.
I think you have a point in that, like, intellectual connection is different than what exactly is a relationship, right? That, like, you need those Love Island fanny flutters and the brain connection. Or it's just
so your
like,
heart
just
being
friends with
in the middle.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, so a heart is a blend of your genitals and your mind, right here in the middle.
Really?
I guess so.
No, I think that there was a... Okay, so I just came off watching Love is Blind on Netflix, which
oh,
was,
I haven't seen that yet.
It was pretty good. This part doesn't last long, although this is the premise of the whole show. They start off by not having seen each other and just speed date through, a mirror. Right. And that lasts about two episodes. And then they actually have to propose it to each other through that mirror, like partition in the wall. And then they have to meet and basically plan their wedding. And it doesn't work out well, as you can imagine.
Does anyone make it through?
Spoiler alert, yes.
Well, I read that there was one, like, wacko person, and she, like, really couldn't stand the sight of the person she ended up saying yes to, and was, like, trying to get with the other guy. Made her thing flutter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But,
so, yeah, I mean, you're right. That's exactly where that phrase was used most recently. That and Summer House.
Yeah, well, what it confirmed is that, well, listen to your heart, I think, like what I thought a long time ago and I said I've never reevaluated since and I still haven't changed my mind about it, just means that if some part of you doesn't feel it when you're with the person, just dump them. Right. That's what it means. Like, it doesn't mean... some kind of weighing out. It just means if something feels wrong, don't just keep going along with it. I don't think there's some kind of compromise going on.
Right. If you listen to the Roxette song, Caitlin, it says, listen to your heart before you say goodbye.
Huh. Okay.
So it's trying to convince somebody to not listen to their heart.
Yeah.
See, the way I think of the phrase, listen to your heart, is I think of it as just being the same thing as trust your gut, but phrased in like a Hallmark card way, you know?
Right.
So like what they're basically saying is like, do you have an internal feeling that just says like, yeah, this is going to be it? Or a feeling that's like, oh, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Classically, I've always stood by mentally the contestants on The Bachelor and Bachelorette that have listened to their heart, quote. Because I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter if you look bad on TV. Why would you keep going through with an engagement or a proposal or a, you know, or not cancel something just to not keep not looking bad?
Right.
Yeah. And I think there is a legitimate thing where you can really like somebody as a person and therefore want to try to make it work as a dating situation, but you're just not feeling it that way. So I can totally see how, especially on one of these shows, you can be like, oh, I like talking to them. Like, we have a good time together. I guess we should just keep on doing this. But like, maybe your heart or your gut is saying like, eh, I'm not into them like that. I'm into them as a person, you know?
Yeah. Huh. Well, to get into gender roles a little bit, I think it's really more of a person who identifies as a woman thing than a person who identifies as a male thing, because as a male, I don't have that on off switch. It's like if a woman that I know wants to date, I'll date. And if they don't want to date, I won't let that get in the way. It's like I can be friends with somebody who's a female and not date them. And if it's not going to work out, I'm not going to hold it against them. And if they want to date, then I'll date them. I mean, if I'm single, right? Women, I've said this before on the podcast, I feel that they're much more like the switch. I feel like a woman can be all into you, date you, and then one morning wake up and the switch is turned off. And then you're no longer...
That's the way you see it, but I bet you there was a lot of like slopey downwards.
Yeah, probably.
Until it kind of got to that.
Well, it kind of goes to that whole conversation we used to have about like breaking up, how like men prolong the breakup, women are more like quick about it. I don't know.
Has this happened to you in the past where you have a friend of the type of person you would normally be attracted to, and you're not into them that way, but you love them as a friend, obviously, and then you're friends for years, and at some point you're like, oh, why didn't I just date them? Like, I like them so much as a person, and like, they're attractive. Why didn't this happen?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, same. I feel like I have a ton of friends like that where I'm just like, oh, why didn't I date them?
I had a mental I don't want to say like a crisis, because it wasn't like I was going crazy, or I don't want to downplay anyone's crazy, like, you know, if they feel like they had a real mental breakdown. But I had a legitimate like philosophical question in my mid-20s, maybe even like 24 age, where I said, I really like this person. We don't have anything in common that we would see each other at. How do I keep him as a friend and not date him? Like, I had no idea. And I was trying to figure that out for, I feel like, a year. And then I had to date him. Like, I had to. That was the only way to keep him around.
Huh? What's the problem with that?
I had to date him to keep him
around. Yeah, like, I had no choice. Greg, if you don't see the problem with that, like, that's the way to keep a man in your life is to date him.
No, you're putting words in my mouth. I don't see the problem with dating him.
Why I didn't not? Want to.
Why not?
I didn't want to. I didn't like him like that.
But
then I had to.
Is it because, I mean, is it because he wasn't physically attractive enough?
He was physically attractive. We just wasn't attracted to him. You know what my ideal situation is and always has been? If my friend's dating someone I like. Then I'm like, yeah, don't have to pretend. I don't know. Then I get to be friends with them.
Pretend. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is here that I'm thinking about, and this is something I also have heard on seasons of Love Island, where you're like, there's nothing wrong with this person. They're attractive. I like talking to them. Like, they're a friend. But you're just not, like, there's no spark between you, maybe, I guess is the way of phrasing
it.
But
that always comes down to physical attractiveness. It has to, right?
But it doesn't.
Soup to nut.
Not always.
You're just not attracted to them.
Yeah, because I feel like I've definitely had that situation where I'm just like, oh, this person is, like, objectively would be considered an attractive person, and I like them as a person, and yet I don't want to date them, you know?
I don't get it. I disagree. If someone stunningly hot came along, it wouldn't matter what the personality was like. Your genitals would flutter, and you would hate them.
And it wouldn't matter Einstein what their personality was like.
But if Einstein came along, and he's not physically attractive, you wouldn't date him, and you'd come up with all these mind games to try to convince yourself that's not just about physical attractiveness.
The problem, I think, is we're talking here in, like, compromises, but there's just some people that you're like, whoa, that person. And then there's some people that maybe everyone else feels that way about, but you don't. I have a really good friend, and I'm so lucky that nothing's ever like that's ever happened between us, because I didn't want to, who is like girls throw themselves at. And it's kind of interesting, Craig, because here's where I think me and Caitlin would like your take. Is that when you end up with these people and as friends, even if they know they're good looking, they'll eventually try to throw themselves at you.
No.
Yes. No, these men will.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I think
Craig was like, that's never happened to me.
I know.
like I said, maybe I'm different than most guys, because I feel like I'm not creepy or creeper. Like, if if a woman I'm friends with who may be super hot or not, whatever, doesn't want me, I'm not gonna hold it against them and get it, let it be weird. And I'm not gonna like, and I'm not gonna eventually throw myself at them in some sort of drunken, like in the movies, because I know that there's movies. About... I know that life doesn't work that way.
The mega hot guys that everyone thinks are so attractive and you want to be friends with, but you're not really attracted to them personally, will eventually come around if you're just friends with them.
Come around and throw themselves at you?
Yeah. And that's a tip for all women out there. Just be friends with the guys you're attracted with.
No.
Yeah. No, I think that is a thing out there where... Yeah, like super attractive men will do this in terms of like that. I think it's almost like a self-esteem thing at a certain point, right? That they're just like, I don't understand. Like, why has she never tried to hit on me? We like each other as people, and I know I'm hot.
I mean, I think if you're comfortable in your own skin, regardless of gender, it just allows that kind of thing to not get creepy, I guess. I don't know. I mean, isn't this why we watch the Bachelor shows? Is because it's all about trying to figure this kind of stuff out?
That's what I watch it for. But anyway, that Love is Blind was pretty good in that way, was that it was so, it had these clear distinctions of people that obviously like each other mentally and physically, people that liked each other only mentally, people that liked each other only physically. You know, there was like all the gray, which made it great to watch.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating in terms of like, I can see, and I guess I've done this in the past. I don't know if it's like, I'm assuming EZR probably has and Craig probably hasn't, but you've dated somebody where it is one of those situations where you're like, oh, you have such the mental attraction in terms of like, you like them in that way, but you're not like super into them physically, but you can still like, you know what I mean? You can still get there when you're dating them because you like them so much mentally.
Yeah. And we've kind of talked about this a little bit, Caitlin, how, you know, when you don't like a guy as much, you can get yourself there if you really want to.
Yeah. You can convince yourself of a lot of things.
Yeah. Even though red flags are like being thrown in your face.
Yeah. Wait, so bottom line, should we be listening to our heart or should we not be listening to our heart?
Yes, you should.
All right, so Roxette had it figured out.
Yeah, it's unfortunately a cliche, but it is really, this is what I think we talk about a lot, is that there's the cliche, the like idiom or something, and then there's the material actual thing you should do. And what bothers me about these shows is that they don't teach younger people what to do in the material world, right? They don't teach people what to do. So how do you listen to your heart? You sit by yourself and you just think whether it's right or not?
I would never sit by myself.
You would never be by yourself. I know.
We can go on and on about this. Let's get to the contestants.
Well, how do you do it, though? How do you listen? How do you listen to what you actually want? How do you like enact it?
Somebody shows attraction to you. You either show them attraction back or not. And if you do, you date them. And if it doesn't work out, you go on with your life.
But that's not analyzing you. That's like. That's a dialectic issue. Well, I'm saying, how do you listen to yourself?
I let the woman tell me when she's upset with me and breaking up with me.
No.
She'll tell me exactly who I am.
Okay.
To be funny. I'm really not. There's such a thing as thinking too much. And aren't you proving my point? Like that. Thinking with your brain is like, maybe this is exactly why you shouldn't. People say, oh, you're thinking with your brain too much, because you should listen to your damn heart.
Peter, okay, why did Peter know Madison was right? I mean, it didn't work out right, but Madison was more right for him than Hannah Ann.
I don't know. because he was listening to his heart.
Yeah, I think it was just like an internal feeling, right? That it was a gut thing. It wasn't based on logic, because if you were thinking really logically, then Hannah Ann would have been the better match on paper, right?
Yeah. And, you know, right. He had to kind of self-evaluate by himself and say, what is, like, why? Why this person and not this person? I don't know.
But and he shouldn't have done that.
No, he it's good that he did.
No, because now he's with Kelly in real life.
Yeah.
Well, he had to think through things, I think, either way. Like, I think Izier's point is, like, he came to this conclusion that he was more into Madison than into Hannah Ann. And maybe he could have come to that conclusion sooner if he had, like, really, really searched himself, you know? But then it turns out that it doesn't always matter if you have that spark with somebody that's a better spark, a better gut feeling, if you don't align in other ways, right? Like the big Madison-Peter issue was always going to be religion and, like, location kind of stuff that has nothing to do with how much you could like somebody, but it could mean that you're not meant for a relationship together.
Yeah. And conversely, like, to your point, Craig, Hannah Brown has a bad picker. So there's some people who listen to themselves and are totally off. So
she's with Tyler now.
She's not really with Tyler. She's just hanging out.
Well, they basically banged for a week in Florida. They quarantined with each other.
Yeah, that doesn't matter to them.
Right.
That's not a relationship.
Okay, can we talk about Bree? Let's get Bree out of the way, because Bree is a practicing Mormon, according to her bio. And nothing wrong with that, but we've talked at length, especially over the last couple seasons here on Bachelor Masters, about, you know, religion, and obviously it kind of came to a head with Madison. Like, why would you go on the show if your religion's gonna deny you the ability to, you know, participate in certain aspects of what the show expects of you? I mean, we have no idea what the fantasy suite rules or any of that's going to be on this show. There's only six episodes, so it could just be they sing and then that's it. None of that.
Well,
this could be the show for people that are practicing religion, people.
Huh. Well, she's not the only one who mentioned something in their bio. Like, a lot of people talked about either being, like, in leadership in their church, or being, like, a musical missionary or something, I feel like is something I saw like that. So there's several on this season who appear to be at least deeply religious.
Right.
And it seems, too, that there's stages to this show. Like, there's going to be the stage when they all meet each other, and then at some point they have to pair up, and then they have to go out and sing. Right. So it sounds like Love is Blind, honestly.
A little bit.
Not good.
And in case you missed it, Bree is allergic to gluten, otherwise known as gluten-free. That's an important...
Otherwise known as celiacs.
Yeah, it's like, it's a little different than gluten-free, because I feel like it's like you will get sick if you eat it versus you don't want to eat it kind of situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, there's 10 women and 12 men, so that means they have to whittle it down.
Unless some people are bisexual. And I say, I hope so.
I don't know if they're going to cross that.
I don't think so.
Also, I'm looking at these dudes, and I just feel like they all look painfully straight, so.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're, I mean, I hope having an uneven number of guys to girls would make things a little spicier, but the last couple episodes sound annoying and bad, right? Because it's
just assumed that it was going to be like Bachelor in Paradise, where they have uneven numbers because they give each other roses, and whoever's left out without a rose leaves the show, right?
Yeah, but then we have to sit through a bunch of performances where people judge whether they're into each other or not.
Oh, right.
That sounds bad.
I don't know how that... I'm interested to see how, I guess, they make that work. Like, how does the judging of the performance play into, like, do you get eliminated as a couple? Does like somebody get a rose based on performance or something like that?
American Idol, I think it's changed a little bit more recently, but back in the day, it was like the judges didn't matter. It was all phone voting. Like the judges could rip you a new one, but it really had no bearing on whether or not you got voted through, right? So the judges could just be there to rip you a new one, but it doesn't matter because they give each other roses or something.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of bothered me is that there's going to be a lot of, maybe there will be, there might be a lot of technical musical terms that they're either going to have to explain or ignore.
Ruby actually has a musical background. A couple of people went to the Berklee College of Music, but she...
Yeah, apparently a lot of them went to Berklee.
Yeah. They probably just set up a tent there for recruiting, but this Ruby actually is like a violin phenom, right? Like, by definition.
Yeah, but they're all like musicians for, like, backup musicians for hire.
There's no like hardcore composing symphonies or anything, except for maybe Ruby, right?
Well, I guess we don't know for sure what the backgrounds in terms of, do they write their own stuff? Are they performers? Like, it's very, I didn't really see much of that in any of the bios if they talked about their experience.
Let me back up. Let's talk about Jed. Would you say Jed is going to be using, Jed from a couple seasons ago, are they more like him or are they more like Johann Sebastian Bach?
No, I think they're more like, like professional musicians who don't want to be for hire musicians, tour musicians anymore. I think they're more like
that. So you're saying they're more musically knowledgeable than Jed?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think that makes sense, that they're people who have had more success than Jed, but they're not famous by any means.
Oh. Okay. Right.
And that's kind of a hard life because you're just, so you have to have a certain, like, I think everybody knows some professional, between us three knows some professional musicians who have to dress up a certain way. You know, if it's St. Patrick's Day, they have to go in a kilt. They have to have these things in their closet. If they are touring with Ashley Simpson, they have to look like a rock person. Yeah. Like the,
Ashley Simpson. That is
that's
funny.
The one that
did you ever watch
mind.
Her reality show?
Yes.
Oh, I totally did.
That was the best because it was about putting together this fake band for her. I mean, that was the premise of the show.
Exactly. But did you see the band that she, like, just like Miley Cyrus, this band she ended up with was like guys with mohawks, and you're like, this guy is definitely not a guy with a mohawk. He is a professional musician who has to have it for his employment. Right. It's like wearing a suit to work.
Man, so, easier. You're on top of your game here.
Well, I think I said I know a few of these people, and they hate this crap. They hate, like, doing that for a living.
So
they'd rather just
the
be... Huh? So now they're on the show, right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And some of them aren't young enough to have, like, latched onto the YouTube thing. Like, one smart guy in here.
Who is the YouTube guy again? Oh, I'm trying to remember which one he was, but I remember noting that in his profile.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about him because I think he is...
Oh, Danny.
Perfect. Danny. Right. From Sherman Oaks, Internet Famous. I love that there is a case for... Craig, back to me, Chris, and yours argument about why are you on The Bachelor? Are you on The Bachelor for fame? Are you on The Bachelor to maybe get famous but also find love? Or are you completely naive and just want to find love? Right. Danny is that great example of how he's the right age, right? He is 26, so he's not too young. He's probably serious about it. He's on it for his career, but he already has like a million followers. Can he double that number? Yeah. But is he completely lost without The Bachelor? No. So there's like, that's the kind of guy that's the kind of person that they should be looking for on The Bachelor. Someone, if they're going to go all in on the influencer thing, go with someone like that. Who's already, you're going to have two built-in audiences. You're going to have The Bachelor and you're going to have his own audience.
Right.
From home, from the internet.
Mm-hmm. He looks like he reminds me of, you know, Dashboard Confessionals singer.
Yeah.
See, I think he looks like Vanilla Ice when he was in his prime, you know, with the hair.
I think you're older than us, Craig.
Yeah. Hey, to the extreme, I rock the mic like a vandal, light up the stage and wax the chump like a candle. See, I could be on this show. Okay, did you notice there's a Bika?
Yes.
She's from the Washington metro area.
She's from Arkansas.
Yeah, I guess she must live here now.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I was interested in what she's doing in D.C. when it said musical theater. I was like, does she work? And there's like the Kennedy Center here has like musicals and plays and stuff at it. So maybe that's an option.
Well, she does say that, and this is a direct quote from her bio thing here. Her favorite president is John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Is that a subtle like flex? Like, yeah, I perform at the Kennedy Center.
Oh, maybe it could be a secret.
Yeah.
No, I just assumed it was like, well, Kennedy's the hottest one, right? So you go with him.
Well, it's just so for the time period.
It's like a good like go-to. You know, it's weirdly nonpartisan, even though it should be very partisan.
Yeah. I guess it's saying like your favorite president is like Abraham Lincoln. It's like, well, you can't really fault that. You know, like.
Oh boy.
You know, who, what three historical figures would you like to have dinner with? Jesus. And like, you just have go to things you say. Yeah. Now, that was weird to mention it though.
Okay. So let's add some structure here. So let's start with, let's start with you, EZR. Why don't you name, two people you like and two people you don't like, and name them before me and Caitlin start talking again.
I guess I like Danny for the reasons I said about the internet. And I don't really care about any of them.
Okay, so that's 1-4 and 23 against. All right. Well put. Caitlin, you want to go next?
I mean, it's hard to pick which ones you like in that. For most of these people, when I was looking at their bios, I would just be like, what are these? You know, when they put the fun facts and they're always so weird and like ridiculous. You're like, why would you put that in here? Right. I liked Mariana, mainly because she said she loves going to museums. I like that. Why not? So I also love museums. I'm trying to think of who else. I thought Mel looked interesting. She went to Berkeley. She's an indie rocker from Brooklyn. Although her fun facts were oof. I was just like, I would not like this person in person, I think. But she's
cute.
Wait,
who was that?
So she is the...
Wait, what's her name?
Mel. She's got purpley hair. Okay.
She said she's not easy to love. What was the quote? Which sounds like she's going to be fun, difficult, fun. But
she truly
you don't
dislikes the modern dating world and claims that she's not easy to fall in love with. So yeah, I was like, well, that's something. I did laugh really hard at she used to skip class to watch John Mayer videos.
Yeah, see,
Mel.
I don't.
Mel, they're
going to
be there later.
That likes John Mayer. That's just to me. That's like an immediate turn off.
What? That would seem like your dude.
He's such a creepy. I don't like creepers. Hold on. I was just talking about how I don't think I'm a creeper.
But he's purposefully a creep. Like, he doesn't hide that he's a creep.
Yeah,
isn't that
he's absolutely a creep, and he's very upfront about it.
Well, I don't like creeps. Therefore, I don't like Mel. Because
but
it,
isn't
him.
It cool that he's like, I mean, I'm saying he's like your dude because he's like
you
so...
You got me all wrong.
No, because he's so upfront. He's like, take it or leave it. That's who I am. Like, I don't know.
Mel, sorry, you're done. You're, what's it called? You're canceled.
I thought both you guys would like Trevor, because he was a semi-pro hockey player.
Oh, I saw, hang on, I'm pulling up his profile right now. You know, I liked his profile in that, Yeah, semi-pro hockey player.
What is
his
what
best friend is his golden
semi-pro?
Retriever. Oh, see, this is like
semi-pro.
A real thing. It's like you don't make a living wage, but you are being paid for.
No,
it, if that
I know
sense.
What semi-pro means, but I could go play semi-pro without, you know, I think it just means you have the equipment and you consistently show up to the hockey rink.
No, it's definitely better than that, because, like, if you have the equipment and you consistently show up, you'd be somebody like my dad used to be, which is they call it being a beer league player.
Yeah,
it's like you're an adult player who does it mostly for fun, right? Semi-pro is like somebody will actually pay you to be in a game, even if it's a small amount of money. Not like, it's not solely for fun, but you're not good enough to have actually been like drafted. Or
he should have just said, I like playing ice hockey, not he was a semi-pro hockey player.
So yeah, he seems fine. I don't have too many feelings on him yet. I'm trying to remember who I disliked is Josh. Backwards baseball cap in his photo. And he seems nice enough, but you know what? His nickname is the singing Uber driver. And
right. Yeah.
How
does he know he's... I guess if you're a driver, your app would tell you how many drives you've given. It just seems rather specific that he's given 3,500 singing Uber rides.
Yeah, that sounds really obnoxious. You get into a car and he's like, what kind of music do you want me to put on? And you're like, I don't know, whatever. And then he just starts singing. That's what he's doing, right?
That's what he is doing. And that's like a nightmare situation for me. So I can't, I can't like him because that's what he's doing, you know?
Yeah. And then married in high school, has a 3-year-old, divorced, and it was a cop. That's his bio.
Yeah, the whole thing is not great.
Well, yeah. Okay.
He's there's singing cop Uber driver.
Divorced.
/ country and pop musician.
Well,
he's got
too
many
he's
things
on my
going
list.
On. He's too hyperactive.
Like, I don't like it. I'm trying to remember who else is on my list. For I'm just like, I can't be into this at all. Michael Todd. I didn't like Michael Todd. First of all, man with first two names, and he explicitly says it in his profile as well, and I don't like that at all. The other thing I really hated when I read this. In his fun facts, he says, Michael Todd wants his music to become the soundtrack to people's lives. No. I feel like I have a water spray bottle and I'm spraying it at my cat when I read that, you know?
He had 100,000 spins on Spotify.
They're not spins.
I like
exactly.
Sheridan. Yeah. Well, I think that's what they, that's how they... kind of like when you say like I have a lot of likes or a lot of heart rate. I think that's the way they play thing. But I liked Sheridan, just his long hair.
I have
so
Sheridan
stupid.
On my not.
Oh
like
my god,
list.
I saw him and immediately was like, yeah, that guy lives in Austin, Texas.
You know why you like Sheridan, EZR?
Yeah,
because it reminds you of a certain past contestant.
No, it's the other way around, Craig. I like when. I just like when guys try to go on this show with something a little bit different than like that Nazi haircut. I don't care what it is.
He does. His hair looks pretty nice, I have to say.
Yeah, it looks curled.
He named his car Sheila.
Yeah, you don't name inanimate objects.
Right.
That's why he's on my
negative list.
But he's 27. Cut him some slack.
He uses microfiber towels on his hair.
To keep his curls looking lush, Craig. To keep them looking lush.
Well, why did you put
holistic
this guy on
remedies
your like
is
list?
What kind of threw me off, too.
This guy's awful. No, you put him on your like list.
I put him for the picture.
Oh.
We're not having
wait, you're basing whether you like people based solely on their looks, EZR?
Well, it's symbolic.
That doesn't sound like you're following your heart.
It's symbolic, though, because he chose to go on a show without cutting his hair. What is that? Like, what's he trying to do? Although, you know what? When we saw the previews for this show,
mm-hmm.
a lot of these guys did not look like what I saw in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had, like, different, you know, like plugs or something different. They didn't right. look like your typical batch of bachelor men. So I was interested in the fact that someone chose yeah. not to conform before they go on.
This is the bachelor show for women who listened to like emo in high school to actually find the contestants attractive, I think.
Yeah, except for most of them are, I mean, by the pictures we see.
There's some bland looking guys.
Are conventional, yeah, yeah but right. it's just a symbolic like right. of him. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to mention Mariana, who loves to travel.
See, I did mention her, and yeah. you know what? I love going to museums, and I love to travel, so I can't hold this against her.
Well, I was thinking about like what EZR went on this rant a couple seasons. Was it last season where you're talking about how
yeah,
you know, like, everyone loves to travel?
Yeah. She is the only one I think on here who listed in their fun facts. But yeah, everyone does like to travel. That's like, true.
I love to travel. Cool. Well, I think it's you linked it to like Instagram millennial things.
So Craig, I'm going to guess that one of your favorites is Ruby.
Yeah, I like Ruby a lot. Yeah, she's on my list. She's one of my two favorites. We've already talked about her.
Yeah, that she was a fiddle player.
Well, she was like a phenom of some kind. She played for presidents. I'm not criticizing putting color in your hair, like unconventional colors, like not blonde or brown, but like pink. I just don't know what it means. Like, I don't know what it's signaling. I've never understood what it signals.
It no longer signals anything, though. Okay.
No, it signals that you just like the color. Not,
yeah.
Yeah, it used to. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
And look at this. She's attracted don't to intelligence and ambition. There you go. You'll never guess who my
That's other a social is. Climber, if you ever heard of.
So now you got to guess who my other like is. I'll give you a hint. It's female.
All right, yeah. I'm looking. Hang on. There's a few I feel like maybe it could be.
Well, I like Cheyenne.
Oh my god, I was gonna guess Cheyenne as one of them.
Although she has struggled to find men that have her same strong Christian values and hopes to find someone with masculine energy.
Why do you like her? Those are dog whistles for like, I don't want anyone who's anything less than right. an alpha male.
Yeah.
Yeah, the strong masculine energy line was a...
Yeah, it's a strange way to put it. Like, I kind of
That's a very Christian, like, women
yeah.
belong to the house, men need to go
men
out.
Men are the head of the household situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you like
She's very cute.
Well, like you, EZR, I base it entirely on looks. So
it's not based on looks.
I mean, otherwise, there's nothing I have in common with her. She loves Disneyland. That's a check against her. She's never been to a nightclub. I don't know what that means. And she enjoys designing her furniture by walking through IKEA. That's original.
So, I was interested in, she's never been to a nightclub before. That sentence is prefaced by, despite living in LA.
Right.
So, well, Angelino's here. Do y'all go to nightclubs all the time?
No.
Is that a thing?
The last time I went to like a quote unquote nightclub is when I went to the Whiskey a Go-Go a long time ago. Yeah. Actually, more recently, I think I went to some other club in Hollywood. But what that means is you go to Hollywood, right?
I mean, nightclub, it's just, yeah, the way they set that up, I think they meant like big city people tend to do that on the weekends. Right. Tend to do a few things on the weekends, and that's one of them.
But I mean, when I was younger, it's not necessarily LA-centric. I used to go to nightclubs a lot in San Francisco, like to watch like techno shows and stuff. Huh. I guess.
All right, yeah, I was intrigued because just like the way it was phrased was like I was like, is LA known as like a really big nightclub town or?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, and then they all get shut down, and then they open up crappy new ones, and then those get shut down. Like there's a lot of huge issues that someone should make like an overarching nightclub documentary, because there's some great things that have happened there, but then there's a lot of controversy regarding them. Like I can think of five, like, turned over, like, you know, things get popular, things get huge, and then it's all because of this one little nightclub, and then it gets shut down, and then the same thing happens somewhere else in another part of town. But they're not exactly nightclubs. Sometimes they're all kinds of different things, like, you know, right near, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a weird, weird thing to say the way they said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It piqued my curiosity just because I was like, huh, okay, is that a thing that I just don't know about LA because I have never been there?
There's some stories, though, for sure. There's some, like, you know, the first African-American gay nightclub was here. The first, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, music trends that started here that we could, that, you know, get shut down. There's a lot of, like, illegal ones. Right. So they're all very interesting stories, for sure. They're happening now. Yeah. Well, I mean, not now, but happening in this decade, last decade. But but in that way, it's interesting. But the way they phrased it is totally off.
Yeah. Good way.
I have another way to quantify this new season or this new show, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah.
What's that?
As I was reading through, I was so surprised at the incredible amount of different ways they said country music. It was so obnoxious to me. Like, I was driving down somewhere and I saw some stupid restaurant that said, like, something, you know, fabricator of this or that. And it was just such a stupid way to say restaurant. Just say restaurant. Do you not want people to go to your damn restaurant? But
fabricator of food?
So they said fabricator of, like, delicacies or some stupid way to say restaurant.
Well, that's a very that's LA thing to do.
Well, it wasn't in LA, but it drove me crazy. The way they said country, American folk pop. Singer-songwriter's easy, right? American folk, acoustic pop, country pop. Like, why not just say country for all of them? Did you guys see that? Doesn't that
pop? Like, in soul,
and that's
country,
so many people
country,
in the
country and pop. Pop, R&B and pop, neo-soul, pop, indie pop, R&B and pop, American folk, jazz, funk and pop, acoustic pop, R&B, soul pop, and country pop.
Before I even started making my little list, I organized everybody into what I thought was the actual category. And the only categories are country, pop, R&B, and rock.
Yes.
Two in rock. The problem is, why are they trying to make us act? Why are they trying to act like it's divided up into all these subcategories when it's all going to be the same crap? American folk pop, and it's just going to sound
in
like
the
that.
Shadows, the shadow.
Yeah, they're just going to keep singing that song.
Yeah.
Why are they even trying to categorize them?
Yeah,
so do you assume that this is the label that each person gave themselves, that they self-provided?
Probably, yeah.
I'm guessing because I cannot imagine a producer being like, you know what, you seem like a neo-soul artist. You
right.
know? like, I feel like it must be, this is what they said, is their genre.
I mean, even if you say pop, you might be country, right? Thanks, Taylor Swift. But, like, that means 9 of them said some form of country, and it's probably going to be more than that. So half of them are country. Don't lie to me, show. I was so annoyed with that.
Right.
And then they threw the musical theater person in the front just to kind of throw us off. Like, oh, it's going to be so different. Nope. It's going to be all the same. So I'm already starting off kind of being annoyed with the fact that they had to.
A musical theater person, just like a theater kid who has a good voice.
Yes. Yes.
not to shit on musical theater, which I enjoy sometimes, but that I assume she is a very specific type of person that I've met before.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we all know those people. But the thing is, I would have put her, after reading through everybody, I put her in pop because it's probably what it ultimately means.
Yeah, especially like modern musical theater is almost always pop music, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it turns into pop music anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they're actually going to care about, like we talked about, terms for musician, you know, all the technical terms that go mm-hmm. along with actually being a musician, all the, maybe the lives that they've had touring. I wonder if this is going to, if their genres are going to affect them at all. Mm. Like, oh, let's put all, you know... You're a country person, I'm a country person. You know you're going to hear a lot of, I like everything. I listen to everything.
Yeah, but, my influences are from a broad range.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if it'll even matter in the end, but or at the beginning at all. But I think it's interesting that they would even try to do it if they're, you know, why are they trying to do yeah. it? What's it going to end up looking like?
I bet, this is my guess, is that the differences, even if they're subtle in genre, are going to come up in some of the, like, first two episodes when they pair up with somebody for a performance and they're going to talk a lot about how they need to cross their two genres to find a sound together, you know?
Yeah.
you won't pause for so long. But I bet there's going to be something where it's like, I do R&B and you do country, and now we have to figure out how to make it work together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are they going to... And this is... Isn't this the kind of thing that people try to classically avoid? You collaborate with someone, and because you're good at doing that together, doesn't mean you should date. In fact, you're finding the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of, like, historical evidence that just because you can make music that's great yeah. together does not mean you should ever date.
Yeah, they should rename the show Dating the Person You Work With.
Yeah, I really hope this turns into a Fleetwood Mac situation.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I hope
yeah.
it turns into an Ike and Tina Turner situation. Oh, I don't know. Like, this is not a good setup. This is not perfect.
Okay, well, on that beautiful note, I do gotta go. So how about we end here and prompt our dear listeners to subscribe on your podcast app, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. If you even have a Facebook, follow us there. Interact with us. We love to hear from you. And we will be back on Tuesday with our first podcast episode of the 6-episode season. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. See ya.